الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد دي آثه منشن رحمه الله الرابعة أي المسألة الرابعة من مسائل الجاهلية التي خالف فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل زمانه The fourth issue, meaning the fourth issues from those affairs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he opposed the people of his time with regards to, from those affairs of ignorance, from those affairs of the days of ignorance, and that which the mushrikun and the misguided people in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were upon, from creed and belief and their methodology and their way. He says the fourth one, أَنَّ دِينَهُمْ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى أُصُولٍ أَعْظَمُهَا التَّقْلِيدِ أَعْظَمُهَا التَّقْلِيدِ The fourth issue is that their deen, their religion and way of life, is based upon principles, and from the greatest of them is blind following. فهو القاعدة الكبرى لجميع الكفار أولهم وآخرهم. And this is their greatest principle. This is the greatest principle for all of the disbelievers, the first of them and the last of them. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is mentioning a great benefit here and an important issue. First and foremost, أَنَّ دِينَهُمْ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى أُصُولٍ أَنَّ دِينَهُمْ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى أُصُولٍ that their religion, their deen, their creed, their belief, their methodology, their way of life is based upon principles. أَعْظَمُهَا التَّقْلِيدِ And the greatest of their principles and the greatest of their fundamentals that their religion, their deen, their way of life is based upon blind following. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ فَهُوَ الْقَاعِدَةَ الْكُبْرَى It is the greatest principle. لِجِمِئِ الْكُفَارِ أَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ This is their greatest fundamental. This is their greatest principle that they base their creed and their belief and their methodology and their way of life upon. All of the disbelievers, from the first of them to the last of them. So the people of Al-Jahiliyyah, they had a way of life that they were upon. And their way of life, it had fundamentals and principles that they based their methodology and their way upon. And from the greatest of their fundamentals was blind following those who came before them, blind following their predecessors without having any clear proof or evidence. So this is the issue of at-taqlid. This word here, at-taqlid, the verb from this word is قَلَّدَ يُقَلِّدُ قَلِّدْ تَقْلِيدًا قَلَّدَهُ يُقَلِّدُهُ قَلِّدْهُ تَقْلِيدًا To blind follow something. But what it means literally, وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي الْعُنُقِ مُحِيطًا بِهِ كَرْكِلَادَ التَّقْلِيد linguistically, it means وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي الْعُنُقِ To put something around the neck. مُحِيطًا بِهِ Until it's encompassing the neck. Like a chain or a rope. Or a necklace and the likes like this. This is the meaning of a taqlid. And like the hadi is called the hadi muqallad. In muqallad, yani al qalaid, because they would put ropes around the animals that are made for sacrifice that are specifically known. The ropes and things around their necks to identify that these animals are prepared for sacrifice. So that's called a taqlid. Likewise, al qirada, which is a necklace. That women wear a necklace like what women wear for jewelry, a necklace that goes around the neck. This is called qilada, and it's from the same root at taqlid. So this is the linguistic understanding, to put something around the throat or around someone or something's throat until it's completely encompassed around it, like a chain or like a rope and the likes like this, or even like a necklace like the females do as a means of adornment. So this is called a taqlid. So in the legislation, it is qabul al-qawl bi ghayri hujjatin wala burhan, to accept someone's statement to accept someone's statement without any proof or evidence. To accept someone's statement without any proof or evidence. His statement meaning his statement in what he's saying or what he believes in his creed or his way or in his rulings and the way that he deals with things or that which he finds to be permissible or impermissible, whatever the statement may be. And whatever it is related to accept that without having any evidence or any proof, and to follow that absolutely without any evidence or any proof, this is called a taqleed. This is called a taqleed, blind following, because it's as if the person that he's following has put a chain around him, a rope around his neck, and is dragging him, and he's just following blindly, being led blindly like an animal, like an animal. So we see that this is something that is blameworthy. That is blameworthy in general, and it could be allowed in the legislation in certain circumstances, but even then it's considered blameworthy to be put in that situation. Not necessarily absolute in an absolute sense, but in any case it would be because of ignorance and not having knowledge. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention that taqleed is luzumul mukallif qawla man laysa qawluhu hujja fi dhatihi min ghayri ma'rifati rujhani dalilihi. A person who is held accountable for his statements and deeds, yani mukallif, somebody who's balig aqil, that he would accept the statement of someone and he would hold fast to that opinion and that position and never leave it. And this person, his statement is not a proof in itself. To hold fast to the statement of someone whom their statement is not a proof in itself. Whom their state is not a proof in itself without knowing the weight of the evidence of that statement. Yani meaning that he would just accept it like that without knowing the evidence and without knowing the proof or without knowing the balance and the judgment of the evidence with regards to that. So to hold fast to a statement and to follow that absolutely, the statement of someone whom their statement is not an evidence, the statement of someone whom their statement is not an evidence, then this is considered blind following. If he does not know the aspect of that statement or that position, if he does not know the evidence for that and the weight of that evidence in the scale, then now he will be considered blind following. As for someone who follows the statement of someone whom their statement is proof and evidence, then this is called following and not blind following. This is called ittiba' and not taqleed, to follow the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, or to follow the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to follow the statement of one of the companions in the proper manner, radiallahu anhum, then this is not considered blind following, this is considered following. This is considered following, following based upon light and based upon knowledge. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned this in his Nuniyah. He says, وَالْعِلْمُ مَعْرِفَةُ الْهُدَى بِدَلِيلِهِ مَا ذَاكَ وَالتَّقْلِيدُ مُسْتَوِيَانِ مَا ذَاكَ وَالتَّقْلِيدُ مُسْتَوِيَانِ وَالْعِلْمُ مَعْرِفَةُ الْهُدَى بِدَلِيلِهِ. And that knowledge, true knowledge, the person who has knowledge and he's following knowledge, not following the opinions of the people, not following desires, not following whims, not following customs, not following cultures, he's following knowledge. What is that knowledge? مَعْرِفَةُ الْهُدَى بِدَلِيلِهِ. To know the guidance with its evidence. To know the guidance with its evidence. مَعْرِفَةُ الْهُدَى يَعْنِي الْحَقِّ. To know the guidance, meaning to know the truth that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To know that with its evidence and proof, this is considered knowledge. This is considered knowledge. To know the truth, to know the guidance, to know that which was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in creed and belief and methodology. Likewise, in actions of worship and how to perform them. And knowing the obligations and the prohibitions. As well as knowing that which is permissible and impermissible in the daily affairs of life and the likes like this. To know these issues coupled with the evidence clarifying that, this is called knowledge. This is called knowledge, and this knowledge is light. And this is what was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one who follows this, the one who's followed this, he's not considered muqallid. Rather, he's considered muttabi'. Rather, he's considered muttabi'. Muttabi'un lilhaq. Muttabi'un lilhaq. Maybe somebody he blind follows someone who is from the people of truth, and because of a situation we discuss, inshallah. So he's, for example, someone who's blind following Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in a particular issue. Then he is following the truth, inshallah, in that issue. He'll be following the truth, in reality, but his situation is that he's blind following because he does not know the proof. Because he does not know the proof. For example, if someone came to us right now and he said, "I just prayed and I forgot I didn't have wudu, what should I do?" What will we tell him? go make wudu, barakallah fik. Go make wudu and redo your prayer. Your prayer is not accepted. It's not accepted. You have to go make wudu again. So if he said, okay, jazakallahu khairan, he went and made wudu, and then he prayed again, would his prayer be correct? Yes, he's upon the truth. He's upon the haqq. But we didn't give him any evidence, and he accepted our statement just like that, and without any proof. And maybe he has trust that we will not mislead him, or that we're speaking with knowledge and the likes like this. In any case, we told him the truth without the evidence, and he accepted that, and he followed it. So is he following the truth? In reality, he's following the truth. But he himself is considered blind following. He's considered blind following because he did not learn that issue with the evidence. He did not learn that issue with the evidence. Had we told him, barakallahu fik, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Abi Hurairah, which is mutafiqun alayhi, that la yakbaru Allahu salata ahadikum idha ahdatha hatta yatawadda, that Allah, he does not accept the prayer of one of you if he breaks his wudu until he makes wudu. Allah, he does not accept the prayer of one of you if he invalidated his wudu until he makes wudu. So this is the evidence for that the wudu, is a condition for the salah. Because of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, okay, jazakallah khairan. Now he goes back and he makes wudu and he prays again. Now what is he doing? Is he blind following us because we said so? What is he doing? He's following the evidence and proof that we led him to. He's following the evidence and the proof that we clarified for him. So now he's following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's doing this because this is what has been narrated to us from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's aware of that and he believes in that and he follows it. He's aware of that and he believes in that and he follows it. So the first one, he blind follows because he has no knowledge and he is in a situation and he doesn't know. So he's ignorant. So therefore he takes the issue like this without any evidence and he follows it. The second case, he accepted the issue with its evidence and proof, and he followed that evidence and proof after seeing the clarification of that and how it identifies with the issue that he's involved in, and how this evidence fits that issue properly, and now he understands what is upon him in that circumstance. So now he's following the evidence, not the person who led him to the evidence. So this is praiseworthy. This is praiseworthy. This is good. And this is called al-ittiba'. This is called al-ittiba'. You need to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's a difference between the two. We see that? So there's taqleed and there's ittiba'. We see the difference between the two. At-taqleed, what is that? Qabulu al-qawm bighayri hujja wala burhan. Bighayri hujja wala burhan. To accept someone's statement without any proof or any evidence. This is called blind following. But if someone, he accepted someone's statement based upon evidence and proof in a particular issue, now he's not blind following, now he's following. He's following the evidence and proof that is clear to him. So from here we see we have a taqleed and we have al-ittiba'. A taqleed and al-ittiba'. Wa al-ilmu wa al-ilmu ma'rifatu al-huda bi dalilihi ma dhaka wa al-taqleedu mustawiyani. Ma dhaka wa al-taqleedu mustawiyani. Al-ilmu والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. And ilm, knowledge, is to know the guidance, is to know the huda with its evidence. ما ذاك والتقليد مستويان. This and blind following is not equal. This is from the Nuniyya of Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى. Who memorized it? والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقليل مستويان والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقليل مستويان. أحسنت علي. والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقليد مستويان. والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. والعلم الهدى بدليله. ما ذاك والتقليد مستويان. مستويان. ما شاء الله. ممتاز. We want to learn this. We want to learn these points now. Mustawiyan. In the poem he says wa. Wal ilmu. Yeah. But this statement here has also been transmitted by Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala. We know that he died before Ibn al-Qayyim by several hundred years, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Ibn Abd al-Barr, he died in 463. Ibn al-Qayyim, he died in 751. So Ibn Abd al-Barr, he mentioned the same point. And he, not in poetry form, but he said, al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidalilihi. So this is something that the people of knowledge, they have clarified. That knowledge is to know the guidance with its evidence and proof. This is true knowledge. So this is true fiqh in the deen. Knowing the particular issue and the ruling of that issue in the deen, and knowing the evidence for that. Even if a person, he didn't know the evidence, but he knows the ruling, he's still upon a type of fiqh. But it's the lowest level of fiqh and understanding in the religion. He knows that alcohol is haram, but he doesn't know the ayat that clarifies that or any hadith likewise. But he knows the issue of certainty that alcohol is haram. So he has a type of, he has fiqh in the deen. This is a general type of fiqh, alhamdulillah. And he's upon khayr, but he's not a person of knowledge. He's considered from the layman. So one will not be considered a person of knowledge until he learns knowledge. And knowledge is to know the guidance with its evidence. So the people of knowledge, likewise, they have mentioned the lines after this line, and to continue, I just summarize, that he mentioned the consensus, al-ijma' al-ulama, a consensus of the people of knowledge that the one who blind follows, he's not a scholar. The person who blind follows, he's not a scholar, he's not a person of knowledge. So anyone who is a blind follower, he's not from the people of knowledge. He cannot be from the people of knowledge while he's blind following in this manner like this. No one who blind follows will ever be from the people of knowledge. Not from the scholars and not from the students. So the people of knowledge, they mention, with regards to this, there are actually three issues. We mentioned two of them. That was at taqlidu wal ittiba'. But actually the levels are three. And they are al-ijtihad. Al-ijtihadu wal ittiba'u wal taqlid. Al-ijtihad is the highest level. And this is for the great scholars, that they have reached this high level, that they have gained a vast amount of knowledge in the issues of their religion and in the Arabic language, in usul al-fiqh and mustalah hadith, and in the principles of the religion, in tafsir, and in fiqh and hadith and the likes like this, until they're able to derive the rulings from the evidences themselves. Rahimahumallah. This is a high level. And then after that, there are those who have also gathered a vast amount of knowledge, but they haven't reached that level. But they're able to look into the statements of those scholars who are mujtahidun, like Abu Hanifa, and Malik, and Shafi'i. And Ahmed, rahimahumallah, like them, they're mujtahidun. So the one who was lower than that, they're the ones who have also obtained a good portion of knowledge, but they haven't reached that level. But they're able, with this knowledge, to identify the evidences of those scholars and how they use them with regards to these particular issues and deriving rulings from them. And they're able to identify and weigh these statements up in the scales of evidence to determine which one is heavy in the scale based upon the evidence, along with knowing the principles and how they derive that ruling. So this one is considered those who are following. And this is likewise a high level. And then there's after that, likewise, those who are able to see the aspects of the issues and how the evidences fit them, and they follow them. So this could be in an absolute manner or it could be in a restricted manner. And some, they have a higher level than others in ijtihad, or likewise in ittiba'. And then after that you have a taqlid. And we have seen this affair. So we have a ijtihad, we have a ittiba', and we have a taqlid. Al-ijtihad is a high level. Very, very few people reach that level. But many people, maybe by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, can reach the level of ittiba', to follow the guidance based upon evidence and clarification from the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. So the one who is following, the one who is following the evidence, he's not blind following a scholar. So it's not praiseworthy to blindfold. This is something blameworthy, and it's not allowed except for in certain circumstances. It could be an obligation upon some, and this is because of a lack of knowledge. Those who are ignorant and they have no knowledge of the issues of the religion, it's an obligation for them to blindfold. It's an obligation for them to blindfold. Allah, He says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So the one who does not know, for example, he made wudu and he prayed and he did not have wudu, for example. He prayed and he did not have wudu, for example. Or he made wudu and he forgot to make the tasmiyah. Or he made wudu and he forgot to wipe his head, for example. And then he remembered these affairs after he's finished with the worship. He does not know if his worship is correct or not. It's not allowed for him to just think and do whatever he likes. And it's not allowed for him to go read and to look into the evidences of the scholars, because he does not have the ability to do that. He's not qualified to even do that. He has to go and ask. He has to go and ask. He has to go and ask the people of knowledge to give him a verdict. And then it's incumbent for him to follow that. And it's incumbent for him to ask those whom he believes are qualified in their creed and methodology, and qualified in their knowledge, and qualified in their manners and etiquettes, that he would ask them. And then they will give them the ruling. They'll give them the ruling, and it's incumbent for him to follow that. If you told him you have to go make wudu again, you have to go make wudu. You make wudu again because you did not follow the proper arrangement, for example, or you forgot one of the pillars of wudu. He will go back and do that. He will go back and do that. It's incumbent for him to follow that. As for the one who is able to look into the evidences, and he's able to look into the statements of the scholars and to identify which one is strong or which one is heavy based upon the knowledge and light that he's been blessed with, then it's not allowed for him to blindfold. And likewise, a person of knowledge is not allowed for them to blindfold, except in certain circumstances. A scholar, for example, who is from the mujtahideen, any of the one who reached a high level of knowledge, is not allowed for him to blindfold. Rather, he has to strive to identify and to learn the proper ruling. But if he's ever in a circumstance where time is running out and he's pressed and he needs to have a ruling directly at that time, and he does not have time to look or to make effort to find the ruling, then now it's allowed for him in this circumstance to blindfold. Now it will be allowed for him in this circumstance to blindfold. But other than that, it's not allowed. So blindfolding, it happens in many manners, in many ways. And like the author, he's saying, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that this is the foundation of their religion. This is the greatest principle and foundation of their deen. فَهُوَ الْقَاعِدَ الْكُبْرَى لِجَمِيعِ الْكُفَّارِ أَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ أَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. And it's the greatest principle, the greatest foundation and fundamental for all of the disbelievers, the first of them and the last of them. The author, he says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, as Allah the Most High, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَى آثَارِهِمْ Muqtadun. And he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High. And just as Allah the Most High, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فِي قَرْيَةٍ. And like that, we have not sent before you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to any village, to any town, a messenger. إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا, except the wealthy and the luxurious. And the luxurious, they say, إِنَّا وَجَدَنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ, that indeed we found our forefathers عَلَىٰ أُمَّةِ, عَلَىٰ دِينَ عَلَىٰ مِلَّةِ أُمَّةِ, here it means مِلَّةِ, يعني دِين, that indeed we found our forefathers upon a way, a religion, a way of life, and we are following their footsteps precisely. So we look here at what the author he's mentioning, and he's mentioning the issue, and he's coupling that with the evidence, so that people can't say, oh, you're just blind following a Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. Rather, we want to follow the evidence and truth. So look at the verse and what it indicates, and look what the author he's mentioning, that this is the principle, this is the greatest principle of the kuffar. All of them, they follow that from the first of them to the last of them. What does the verse say? And like this, we have not sent before you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like this, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And like this, we have not sent before you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to any town, مِنْ نَذِيرٍ, a warner, meaning a prophet and messenger. إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا, except that the luxurious of that town said to that prophet, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَى أَثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. Indeed, we have found our forefathers upon a way,
upon a religion, upon a creed and belief, upon a methodology, and we were following their footsteps precisely. So Allah, He mentioned in His book, telling His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no prophet had come before him. No prophet was sent to any nation before him except that the luxurious and the wealthy of that nation said this to that prophet. So every nation whom a prophet came to, and they disbelieved in their prophet, from the aspects of their disbelief and the proof that they presented towards their prophet why they disbelieved in him, is that they found their fathers upon a way and they're following their footsteps blindly, and they're blind following their footsteps precisely. You understand that? You understand that? So this evidence here is clear to what he's saying, that this is their principle, that all of the disbelievers from the beginning of them to the end of them, they have relied upon. What is the verse after that? قَالَ أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِأَهْدَى مِمَّا وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَبَاءَكُمْ. He says, even if I came to you with better guidance than what you found your forefathers upon, قَالُوا إِنَّ بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ. They said, indeed, we disbelieve in what you've been sent with. And so they preferred the ways of their forefathers, and they rejected the guidance of the prophets and messengers, alayhimu salatu wasalam. And this was their aspect and how they did that. How did they refuse the guidance of the prophets and messengers? كَيْفَ رَدُّوا هَدْيَ الْأَنْبِيَاء بِتَقْلِيدْ الْأَجْدَادِ وَالْأَبَاءِ. By blind following the forefathers. How did they reject the truth that the prophets and messengers were sent with? By blind following their forefathers. We found our forefathers upon a way, and we're following them precisely. We're following in their footsteps exactly. وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. We're going to follow their footsteps precisely. This is what we found our forefathers upon, and this is what we're going to follow. And this is what we are going to follow. So this is something that is well known. And also, we see this now. We have to open our eyes and see this now, that this is blameworthy. This is how the guidance was rejected. And this is how those nations, they were destroyed. There are prophets and messengers sent to every nation. And what were they proclaiming? وَلَقَدَ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. But what did they say to them? إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِ مُكْتَدُونَ. They refused that. They refused the Tawheed. And they refused to worship Allah alone. And they refused to follow the message that was revealed to the prophets and messengers alayhim salatu wasalam. And they preferred to follow that which their forefathers were upon. So this is from the greatest traps. And steps of the devil to mislead Bani Adam. Understand that? From the greatest steps and traps to mislead Bani Adam is this issue here, blind following that which their forefathers were upon. What's the benefit of learning this issue? This is from Jahiliyyah. This is what Abu Jahl was upon. This is what Abu Lahab was upon. This is what the people of those nations before were upon. This is what every nation who rejected the call of their prophet, this is what they were upon. This is what Allah is telling us in this noble verse. What do we benefit from that? So that we can stay away from it. We don't want to be blind following the people. Blind following our forefathers, and not knowing about, maybe they're upon misguidance. Even if I come with better than what you found your forefathers upon, and what if I come with something better than what your dad is upon? Are you going to follow it then? You still going to follow your dad? You still going to follow your grandpa? You still going to follow your uncle? You still going to follow your tribe? Even if we come with something better, More greater, like this? No. The one who will follow the truth, he will follow the guidance. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and he's presenting more evidence for the issue. And the Most High, he says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ أَبَاءَنَا أَوَّلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Allah, he mentions in his book, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. Whenever it's said to them, follow that which Allah revealed. What did Allah reveal? Al-Qur'an wa As-Sunnah. Allah, He revealed Al-Qur'an wa As-Sunnah. Al-Ladhi unzila ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Qur'an wa As-Sunnah. Al-Wahyan. al-wahyan. So whenever it said to them, follow that which Allah revealed, what did they say? قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدَنَا عَلَيْهِ أَبَاءَنَا. Said, no, rather we're going to follow what we found our forefathers upon. So they're called to follow the guidance that which Allah He revealed to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what did they say? No. We're going to follow that which we found our forefathers upon. And then Allah He says, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Even if Shaytan is calling your forefathers, even if Shaytan was calling your forefathers, even if Shaytan was calling them to the torment of the blazing fire, and you're still going to follow them anyways, even if Shaytan is following them to the torment of the blazing fire, and they fell for that, and they listened to those whispers, and they followed the devil, and the devil, he's not calling them in this manner because he loves them and wants good for them. Rather, he has great enmity for them, and this is why he has deceived them, and they listened to that call, and they fell for that trick, and they slipped and fell into those steps, and they're on their way, or they have already made it, to the blazing flame. You're still going to follow them? If the people are walking into the fire, jumping in head first, you're still going to follow them? People are throwing themselves off the cliffs in destruction head first, you're going to still follow them? وَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. This is in Surah Al-Luqman, huh? Surah Al-Luqman. Also similar in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُوا مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ أَبَاءَنَا. They said, whenever it said to them, follow that which Allah has revealed, they said, no, rather we're going to follow that which we found our forefathers upon. وَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاءَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Even if their forefathers don't understand anything and they're not guided, even if their forefathers don't understand anything and they're not guided, anyway, even if they're worshipping stones, even if they're worshipping graves, even if they're calling on the dead, you're still going to follow them anyways? You're still going to follow them anyways? Even if they're blind following so-and-so, and they're rejecting the evidence and the proof clearly, you're still going to follow them? You're still going to follow them? La. A believer, he's going to follow the truth. It's incumbent for a believer to follow the proof. It's an obligation for the believer to follow the evidence that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person is either going to be following the evidence and proof of the Prophet that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or is he going to be following the devil? Or is he going to be following the devil? And the devil, he calls to follow the hawa and to contradict the huda. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calls to following the huda and to contradict the hawa. So they're two opposite calls. They're two opposite calls. The ways of a jahili is to follow the hawa and to worship the devil and to be misleaded and follow his footsteps into the blazing fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called contrary to that, to leave away the whispers of the devil and the ways of ignorance and to follow the evidence and proof that was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what he says, فَأَتَاهُمْ بِقَوْلِهِ. So this is what they said, any of the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ahlul Jahiliyyah, what did they say? They said these statements here. We understand this. We want to understand what the author is saying. And because, wallahi, it's very beneficial and it's very clear. Alhamdulillah. So he's mentioning what the people said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather what they said to their previous prophets likewise. They said the same thing. Inna wajadna aba'ana ala umma, wa inna ala atharihim muqtadun. So they said that they prefer to follow the way of their forefathers. They prefer to follow the way of their forefathers. So فَأَتَاهُمْ بِقَوْلِهِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to them with the statement of Allah, the Most High. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ أَن تَكُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَى ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. Say to them, O Muhammad, قُلْ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I exhort you to only one thing. And I call you and I admonish you, just do one thing. Just do one thing. That you stand up for the sake of Allah. That you stand up for the sake of Allah. What are they saying to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? First, who is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in relation to these people? In relation to Quraysh specifically, the Arab specifically, the people of Mecca specifically, those who had great enmity towards him and kicked him out of his home, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is his relationship to them? He's a stranger. Huh? He's their kin. He's their blood. They know him his whole life. They know his mom, his dad, his uncles, his grandpa. They know his whole family, his lineage. They know everything about him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also they admit to his honesty and his trustworthiness and his truthfulness and his piety and that he's far away from dishonesty and from treachery and he's not rude and he's not foul and he's up at the utmost peak of manners and conduct and dealing. They know that about him. They know that about him. He's not a stranger amongst them. So this is what he said. This is what Allah commanded him to say. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَحْ I'm only going to admonish you with one thing. What is that? أَن تَكُومُوا لِلَّهِ That you stand up for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. That you stand up and you be sincere. What do they say to him? كَذَّاب مَجْنُون سَاهِر كَاهِن سَائِر They said to him, he's crazy. He lost his mind. He's a madman. Muhammadun Majnun. Muhammadun Majnun. This is what they said, but they don't believe that, and they know that it's not true. He's a poet. He's a magician. He's a soothsayer. He's a fortune teller. He's a liar. This is what they're saying about him. Why are they saying that? Not because they believe that. They know he's truthful. Al-Amin, Al-Amin. They know that he's truthful. They know that it's not poetry. They're the masters of poetry in their day. Literally, they're the masters of poetry in their day. And they know that he's not coming with poetry. And they know that he never gave poetry before. That he never spoke, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, poetry before. But this is what they said about him. Muhammadun Majnun, Muhammadun Majnun, until the extent that anytime somebody would come to Mecca, it would be spread through the streets. Muhammadun Majnun, Muhammadun Majnun, Muhammad's crazy, Muhammad's crazy. And in order to run them away so that people would not listen to him. Because those who listen to him, they realize that he's the truth. They realize that he's the truth. So Allah, he says, I only to tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I only admonish you with one thing, that you stand up for the sake of Allah in pairs and individually. And you get in groups together and individually and then think. And then think within your and reflect within yourselves the life history of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will know that he's not a madman. That your companion, he is not mad. Yeah, your companion, he is not mad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this noble verse, he says, قُلْ Say to them, O Muhammad, إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَحِدًا I only admonish you with one thing, أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادًا ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا That you stand up for the sake of Allah, and that you be sincere with yourself, that you be sincere with yourself, and you stand up in pairs and individually, and you get together and discuss amongst each other, and also think while you're alone by yourself, ponder and reflect. Ponder and reflect over this man you're calling crazy. Over this man, think about him. Think about your relationship with him. Think about the life. You know him since he's a child. Ponder and reflect over his situation. Ponder and reflect over his situation. And you will realize there is no madness in your companion. He is only a warner to you in face of severe punishment. He's only a warner to you in the face of severe punishment. So even here we see this is a refutation for blind following. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not sent with blind following. He was sent with evidence and proof. And he's not calling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to blind follow in this manner like this. He said, rather think. The people who blind follow, what do they do? What is blind following? Linguistically, to put a rope around someone's neck and drag them. And if they drag them right, they go right. If they drag them left, they go left. If they drag them right, they go right. If they drag them left, they go left. And if they stop, they stop. And the likes of that. If they pull them hard, maybe he'll fall down. He's being led. He's being led in this manner like this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is telling them, think, use your brain. Look into the situation, look into the reality. He's not crazy. He's not calling you to blind follow this or to blind follow that. Follow the evidence and the proof that was revealed. Follow the evidence and proof that was revealed. If you ponder and you reflect and you look into the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will see that he's the messenger of Allah. You will see that he's the messenger of Allah. If you ponder and you reflect and you look into the book of Allah, you look into the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi. That if you look into this, and that it cannot be reproduced, and you take Alif Lam Mim, Taha, you take Taha, you take these letters and you make something like it if you can do it. Take these same letters, Alif Lam Mim Sad. You take these Ta Sin Mim. Take them if you speak the Arabic language, or if you are a master in poetry, and if you are eloquent in this language, then take those same letters that this Quran is composed of and make something like of it. Just one verse. Has somebody been able to do that in 1,445 years? No, they haven't. No, they haven't. This is the clear evidence that this is the Quran. And it's revelation from the Lord of the worlds, which is the clear evidence that that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam haqqun Rasulullah. He is truly the messenger of Allah. He's truly the messenger of Allah. So the one who ponders and reflects over this, he will see the proof, and he will follow the proof, and he'll follow the evidence, and he'll follow the dalil. So the issue here, the author is trying to clarify that the Prophet was ordered to tell them here to think. Don't just blind follow. Don't just follow what the people are doing, what they're saying. Don't just follow those people before you. Somebody's saying he's crazy, and you say he's crazy because they said he's crazy. That one said he's Majnun, so you say he's Majnun. This one said he's a liar, so you say he's a liar. You know he's not a liar. Think about it. Think about it. He's not lying. If you think about it and you're sincere and truthful with yourself and with your Lord, you will see that he's not lying. If you think about it, you will find he's not crazy. He's not a madman. Whenever Dhimad al-Azdi, rahimahullah, whenever he heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming, and he thought about the situation, he said, Muhammad is a madman. You know, maybe I can give him ruqyah. Maybe I can give him ruqyah. Well, Allah, he cured many people at my hands. So whenever he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I'm going to give you ruqyah. And I heard that you have some problem. You're possessed, or you have some jinn and the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he took him by the hand and he said, Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu, until the end of the khutbat al-hajjah. And he said, wallahi, I never heard. This is not the statements of a madman. I heard the statements of the kings and the princes and the poets, and I heard the statements of the kahin, the suud. This is, no. Say, a'id alayhi kalimatika hadihi. He said, repeat those words to me. He repeated them again, and he accepted Islam immediately. He accepted Islam because he looked and he said, no, this is not the statement of a liar. This is not the statement of a crazy man, a madman. No, this is just khutbat al-hajj. What if he heard the Quran? After that, he said, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So the one who ponders and reflects, and is looking for the truth, he'll be guided. He'll be guided. So this is the benefit that we want to learn, because the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of them, they're upon jahiliyyah. And the people in our day, likewise, many of them are upon jahiliyyah. And what is prohibiting them from following the clear deen and the true way is this same principle here. They follow their, this is how they prayed in my country. This is how they prayed in my masjid. This is how my father prayed. So they continue to pray like that. They don't raise their hands, or they pray in a bad way, or they have a bad understanding. And the likes like this. Well, why are you worshiping the grave for? Oh, well, this is my father's, my grandfather. They all did that. They all did that. So this is something that will block them and stop them and prohibit them from following the haq, because they will blind follow their forefathers absolutely in this manner. And this is the way of jahiliyyah, not the way of guidance, not the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, he came and he opposed that sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the one who ponders and reflects, he will see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's upon the truth, and that which those forefathers are upon, or upon falsehood. Calling on the graves is falsehood, no matter who said it or did it. That's the ways of al-jahiliyyah from the old days. Not being united and having different objects of worship and different methodologies of worship, this is all misguidance. This is from the ways of jahiliyyah. To rebel and to revolt against the rulers, this is from the ways of jahiliyyah, not from the ways of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regardless who was talking about it, regardless who was saying it. So one, he will not blind follow the people that he respects and honors in contradiction to the evidence and truth. And we just spoke about the time whenever it's allowed for a Muslim to blind follow, and this is whenever he doesn't know. So from here, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that somebody who's a layman, it's allowed for him to blind follow a madhab. It's allowed for him to blind follow a madhab from the bona fide madhab, yani from the reliable madhab, like the madhab Abi Hanifa, for example, or a Malik or Shafi or Ahmed, rahimahumullah, from Ahl Sunnah. It's allowed for him to do that in the affairs of fiqh. What's not allowed for him to do is to see the evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah contrary to what is mentioned in his madhab, and to choose the madhab over that. This will not be allowed for him. Do you understand this part? So maybe he's a layman, he doesn't have knowledge, so he'll blind follow one of the reliable scholars. But if they ever mention an issue about something, and he learns himself that the evidences of the Quran and Sunnah are contrary to that issue, it's not allowed for him to blind follow now. Now he must follow the evidence that has come to him. And the one who thinks and ponders and reflects, he will find that the truth is in that evidence and not in the ways of his forefather or his imam or his madhab or his customs or his cultures or in this country or in that country or this masjid or that masjid. We understand that. So this is of utmost importance to realize and to be aware of. The author, he says, وَقَوْلُهُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. And likewise, the statement of Allah the Most High, whenever he says, ordering the people, and follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord, which was the Quran and the Sunnah. And follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow other than that, the awliya. Do not follow other false gods or deities or ways besides that. And how little is it that you take admonition and remember. So therefore, it's not allowed to blind follow in this manner. whenever the truth is clear in front of a person's face, whenever he reflects and he ponders and he sees the statements of Allah Azza wa Jalla contrary to what he learned, or the hadith that is clearly authentic is contrary to what he learned. Now he must stand up for the sake of Allah and reflect and ponder over what he sees from this evidence that is clear as daylight and from what his forefathers were upon, and he must choose and prefer that which is in the evidence and leave what his forefathers were upon. As for those who prefer the ways of their forefathers, then they will be destroyed. And this is preferring desires and whims over guidance. وَأَمَّا ثَمُودَ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَاسْتَحَبُّوا الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى فَأَخَذَتْهُمْ صَاعِقَةُ الْعَذَابِ الْهُونِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. So do not, and as for Thamud, this is what happened to Thamud. They said the likes of these affairs. They said that they preferred عَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. They preferred blindness over guidance. They preferred blindness over guidance. Blind following their forefathers. They preferred that over guidance. فَأَخَذَتْهُمْ صَاعِقَةُ الْعَذَابِ الْهُونِ. So the humiliating punishment seized them. The humiliating punishment seized them because of that which they used to earn from the foul and lowly deeds. So there's a great threat and warning with regards to the issue of blind following, especially whenever the evidence and proof is made clear. It's this principle here that the Tawheed was rejected. It's this principle here, they rejected the Tawheed. It's this principle here, they rejected the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This principle here. How was the Tawheed of Allah rejected? إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَى أَثَارِهِ مُكْتَدُونَ. That we found our forefathers upon our way and we're going to blind follow them. This is how the Tawheed was rejected. The messengership of Muhammad and his prophethood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how was it rejected? بِالتَّقْلِيدِ الْعَامَى. By blind following. How was the haram made halal? By blind following. How was the halal made haram? By blind following. How were innovations introduced and spread throughout the ummah? By blind following. If you find now the people of innovation and the people of deviation and the attachments they have to the graves, it all comes from blind following. Blind following people of misguidance and rejecting the truth. And the blind following likewise in the different madhahib, you'll find them blind following. You'll find them snatching that way. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And they'll blind follow their imam absolutely. They'll blind follow their sheikh absolutely, even if the evidence comes. And they have many different doubts and misconceptions in order to reject the truth whenever it comes and to refuse that and to show preference to the person they consider to be high and lofty in their right and in their eyes, and they raise him to that status that he does not deserve. So it's this principle here that has stopped much of mankind from following the truth. Even Abu Talib, what did he say? Even Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what stopped him from accepting the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? At-taqlid al-a'ma, blind following. What did he say? لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانَ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. He said, indeed, I know that the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best religion of all mankind. وَلَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حَذَارِ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَلِكَ مُبِينًا. And had it not been for a fear of being blamed or somebody talking bad about me, then you would find me following that clearly. And he was afraid to turn away from the ways of his forefathers. Even at his deathbed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling, يَعَامْ قُلْ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَّا. Say that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And Abu Jahl and the like is there, calling him to say, what did they call him to? Whenever he's trying, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at the deathbed of Abu Talib. What is he calling to? To la ilaha illallah. What is those leaders of disbelief around him? How are they blocking him from accepting la ilaha illallah? What are they calling to? Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib? Are you going to turn away from the way of Abdul Muttalib? Are you going to really turn away from the ways of your forefathers? They didn't say, oh, he's upon falsehood, he's a liar, he's a cheater, he's this. No, he said, are you going to turn away from the ways of your forefathers? You know, you're going to stop blind following those before you? So this is what prohibited him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.